Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, and welcome again to another Hebraic Journey through the Bible broadcast. And my name, of course, is John Wesley, and for the next 30 minutes, I will be one of your co-hosts. Of course, I am a Messianic pastor and rabbi, and our quest is to unravel the Hebraic truths hidden deep within the New Testament scriptures of our faith, which tend to answer the perplexing questions that we normally have that hinder our relationship, one, between our spiritual father, and two, our spiritual husband for most of you, which is Yeshua, Jesus Christ. And at this time, I would like to introduce, and I have the honor to introduce, the other side of our co-host, and that is Evangelist Tanita Jones.
Amen. Thank you, Rabbi John. I just want to say that I'm glad to be a co-host of the show. It is truly a blessing to share the truth of the word of Yah, as we call him, or God. And this is our 24th show, and of course we will continue to discuss the question about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and I just want to hand it back over to you. Thank you, Rabbi, for the introduction.
Amen. All right, and so right now, Father, I want to just lay our hearts and ourself before you. You know us better than we know ourselves. So therefore, I ask you to forgive us and to forgive me for any sin, iniquity, and transgression. Father, I choose. I make a quality decision based upon the strength that you give me to forgive myself and to forgive others. Father, help me to understand the key of me being freed by also and especially forgiving those who have sinned against me, who have caused iniquity and transgression against me. Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua, I lay them free of all charges. I allow you to acquit them. And, Father, I hold no bitterness and nothing ill-mannered against them right now, in the name of Yeshua. I thank you for the power to do that, Father. And I thank you for your reconciliation and your restoration for me as I do the same for others. In Yahushua's name, I invite you to this broadcast. I invite your spirit to guide us and to just allow us to see the areas in which we need to correct ourselves and areas that we need to really begin to walk full force in so that you can be pleased with us and so that you can be pleased enough with us to use us for kingdom purposes. In Yahushua's name, amen and amen.
Amen. And so we're just going to recap the 23rd show. And this, again, the question was, what is the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives? You were explaining about blaspheming and the difference between blaspheming and grieving. And you gave a great example of how the Pharisees and Sadducees were very close to grieving the Holy Spirit, but the reason that they didn't qualify for a blaspheme is because they hadn't gone through the process of salvation, being mikvah correctly in Yeshua's name, being baptized with the Holy Spirit, and walking in Torah and fellowshipping on the Sabbath, whereas Ananias and Sapphira had, and they were leaders in the church. And you were telling us, according to Acts chapter 5, verses 1, dealing 1 through 11, we stopped at 9, but Ananias was jealous of Barnabas, and he decided a spirit of competition, arrogance, and pride came upon him. And, of course, he blasphemed because the portion of land that he was supposed to sell, he should have given all, but instead he lied and only gave a portion of it. And when we got to verse 9, you were talking about Sapphira, his wife, and here you brought up some key points about us being tested, tried, and tempted. And you said that when you're first, you're tested, to see whether or not you want to be seen by people or by Yah. And, of course, Barnabas qualified because he didn't care. It was about Yah, whereas Ananias wanted to be seen by people. So, therefore, he failed the trial. And then temptation came in because he lied about what he had received as well as only given a portion of what he received. And so I'll just hand the show back over to you for us to continue, Rabbi.
All right, fantastic. It's important, if you guys are taking notes and you're hearing this maybe for the first time, and even if you aren't hearing it for the first time, but especially for those of you that are hearing it for the first times. What I want to do right now is to, like Evangelist Tanita just said, I want to go into a little bit more detail and scrutinize these terms, test, trial, and temptation, because the Holy Spirit works in unison with trying to help us through each and every one of those phases, through a test, a trial, and a temptation. And this is something that you and I always go through moment by moment, not even daily, but moment by moment. We're being tested, and if we don't understand why we're being tested, then it makes it very difficult for us to yield to the Holy Spirit to be able to pass the test, because it is the Holy Spirit who actually knows the answer to the questions and to how to escape the situations that would try to come in this world through lust. So it is imperative that we begin to understand that. It's imperative that we begin to work out our salvation, as the Scripture says. But if we don't understand that while we're here on this earth, we're going to be tested, that particular test, okay, is the what I like to call it is the three T's. We're going to be tested, and if we don't do well on the test, then we will be tried. We'll go through a trial period. In that trial period, if we still don't rely on the Holy Spirit and allow Him to deliver us from the penalty of the next phase, then we're going to be, from that trial, if we fail it, we're going to be tempted. Okay? Now, all of this is still in reference to the big picture of the question pertaining to grieving the Holy Spirit and all of that, as well as what we had talked about as far as blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And the scenario that we used in Acts chapter 4, verse 32 through chapter 5, verse 10, we'll be able to see those particular, we can use that scenario to see the patterns, to pick up the different patterns and how far the process goes from test to trial to temptation. Now, of course, I'm going to be using other biblical references, other biblical illustrations, if you will, so that you will be able to say, aha, I can relate with that, and I can relate with this because I know that biblical narrative or that biblical story, but I also know this New Testament story, and I can see how the patterns, the process, continues to happen. And we'll even, if we have time, take a look at the pattern of Yeshua and how Yeshua dealt with this and how he overcame it. All right, so with starting that off, let's go ahead and go into Genesis chapter 4, verse 7 in the King James. And I'm going to read that for this particular time. Okay, I'm going to read that in the King James Version. And in this, keep in mind, we're looking at those three T's. We're looking at test, trial, and temptation. And in the King James in chapter 4, verse 7, of course, most of you probably are very much aware of the story and very much aware that we're talking about Cain and Abel and talking about how Cain did not give, did not give a proper sacrifice pertaining to the time of that particular sacrifice period. And Abel did. Abel gave the actual sacrifice that Yah wanted for both of them to give, and that they were instructed to give. So it's not a situation or a circumstance where Cain was unaware of giving that particular sacrifice. Going back to what we said about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they did definitely blaspheme against Yeshua. They did. But like we said before, the difference between them blaspheming and Ananias and Sapphira, who were, as was already stated, leaders in the congregation, had the ultimate relationship as a bride, not a servant or a friend, but as a bride, and understood the concept of Yeshua's death, burial, and resurrection, and walking in Torah as a bride. So they were doing all of these things. They understood that. So the difference between them and the Pharisees and Sadducees is, although the Pharisees and Sadducees did, according to the credential definition of blaspheme. They did blaspheme, but they were unaware that that's what they were doing. They didn't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit and all that was already spoken of. So they did it, but they did it unaware. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is a very similar situation with Cain. Cain, although he was aware of what he was supposed to bring, his desire was to bring out of the best of what he was able to produce based upon his own ability. Now, this is important. And the reason why it's important is because if we get our feelings hurt, if we get into a situation where we've, in our own strength and in our own ability, we try best and find out that the best is not good enough, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If that happens, God is required by his word, which his word is law, so he's required by his word to reject that offering. He's required to reject it. Now, when he does that, when Yah does that, he always desires for you to understand why. Because he understands, he, of course, being Yah, understands that when anyone feels rejected, then that is when the disembodied spirits can come in and run amok and really take you to the next level. Take you from the test to the trial, from the trial to the temptation. So I'm going to read this, but I want to make sure you see and understand this process, okay? This is Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. It says, if thou doest well, who's the one speaking? This is Yah. This is God speaking to him. Because this is after he's been rejected. This is after he gave his sacrifice, which was his first fruit of his fruit, literally, his garden. And remember, the garden was cursed. So he's bringing the first fruit of a garden when the ground was cursed. So he's bringing the best of a curse to God, saying, accept this. He's not trying to be arrogant. He just misunderstood the step. And because he misunderstood the step, based upon this type of sacrifice, his sacrifice, not him, but his sacrifice was rejected. Now, whenever we have a situation like this in our own lives where it's rejected, the Father's not wanting to reject us. And this is the reason why in Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, the Father took his precious time to come and visit his son. Come and visit and really begin to explain this test, trial, and temptation to Cain. And he says, if thou doest well, in other words, if you do exactly what I've asked you to do, shalt thou not be accepted? In other words, wouldn't I, of course, accept you? And then he prefaces that with the opposite. He gives you the positive, and then he gives you the negative, so that you can see it, lay it out right before you, so there's no excuses. And he says, if thou dost not well, in other words, whether you mean to do it or not, you do it based upon your own strength or based upon your own understanding of what it is, instead of asking me, you know, you want me to go to the store and get a loaf of bread. Well, I felt like it was too high at that particular store that you told me to go, even though you gave me the right amount of money to actually purchase that particular brand of that particular. So what I did was I went to the day store where we can get bread cheaper, but it's a day old, and I bought the bread there. So now I have bread, because to me, not to you, but to me, bread's bread. And I figured you would be happy that not only did I buy more bread, I saved you money. So now I give you the money and I give you the bread, but I'm still rejected. So now I'm upset, wondering why would you reject me when I went the extra mile for you? But the key here is, I did not obey what you told me to do.
Mm-hmm.
B part of verse 7, and it says, and unto thee shall be, okay, let me jump back here. It says, and if thou doest well, if thou doest not well, excuse me, sin lieth at the door. Now, the door that it's talking about is the door of your tabernacle, the door of your being, you and me. And it says, And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt, but thou shalt rule over him. In other words, I'm supposed to rule over sin. But if I neglect to be obedient to what the Father has told me to do, then the veil of protection that protects me from the enemy has been split. The veil has been breached. The anointing of the Holy Ghost breaks the yoke, but you're hindering, you're grieving. I'm grieving. We all are grieving the Holy Spirit from fulfilling its purpose. Because its purpose is to make sure that we are the types of brides that will be ready for the latter part of the wedding ceremony, because it's in two parts. So the actual wedding ceremony that we would understand from the Western perspective is ready to commence, but before it commences, the Holy Spirit is there to help to begin to perfect and to purify and to cleanse and to keep me as a bride. It grieves when I start to go astray because of my lack of understanding or belief or trust that this is the right way to do things. This is the proper brand of bread. I didn't have to pay for it. So why am I utilizing the precious money that was given to me and losing sight and going from a test to a trial? So in that beginning, hopefully we're beginning to understand that a test goes all the way back to Genesis. And I'm going to have Evangelist need to read this in Genesis chapter 22,
okay,
verses 1 and 2. Okay? And as she's getting ready to read it, understand that with these three T's, with the test, trial, and temptation, the test is where I am being tested based upon whether or not I love.
Yeah.
Whether or not I love my spiritual husband. Now understand, in the test, there's going to be questions on the test that are going to catch you and catch me unaware.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to catch us in a manner of speaking where we have no idea what the answer is. And no matter how hard we study or how hard we try in our own strength, he's designed the test so that you have to rely on the Holy Spirit. I will never be able to pass the test without learning how to yield to the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Learning how not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Understanding the boundaries and the understanding of the importance of the aspect of blaspheming the Holy Spirit. So this test is important, not only to me, it's important to Yah. That's why he has provided, through his Son, he's provided the Holy Spirit so that we will always be able to pass the test.
Mm-hmm.
So, Evangelist Sunita, if you can go ahead and begin to read that, that'd be a blessing.
Yes.
Genesis 22, verses 1 and 2.
Yes, Genesis 22, starting at verse 1. Now, it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here am I. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah.
Moriah.
And offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you.
Okay, now, depending upon somebody else's translation, there's a word there that needs to be corrected, not in your translation, Evangelist Tanita, but in other translations. In other translations, it says that God tempted Abraham. It literally says that is the word that they use as tempt in the English. Mm-hmm. The problem with that word is that God does not, according to James, okay, God doesn't tempt anyone with evil.
Amen.
He does not tempt you with evil. Okay? Now, God here is not tempting Abraham. God here is testing. He is testing Abraham's love for God. He's testing Yah's love. He wants to know, where is your love, Abraham? Before you were given the greatest gift to you, which was your son at age, 99 to 100 years old, you had perfect love for me.
Mm-hmm.
You passed the tests, and you went away from your kindred, away from your family, and away from your land, and you went to a land where I showed you. You passed that test because you had to rely on the spirit of the word that was spoken to you. You had to rely on that. So now, based upon that, you now received the gift that you wanted and desired. And you've allowed mm-hmm. that gift now to become more to you than me. So as we go back to that particular passage, Yah explains, even in his request, in his command for him to take his son and to go to a land where he is showing him to sacrifice his son, he gives him the answer within that. And he says, whom thou lovest. And if I could impart three words without changing the definition and understanding of that particular passage, I would say that thy only son, whom thou lovest, mm-hmm. and these are the three words that I would add, more than me, and give thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will show thee of. So what happened was the gift became more important than the giver of the gift. Whenever that happens, it's not that we aren't being tested. That's important for all of us to know. Every day we're being tested.
Mm-hmm.
The test becomes difficult, and we begin to grieve the Holy Spirit at the very point at which we're unwilling to give that gift its proper area in our life, when we have prioritized the gift over the giver. At that point, the test becomes extremely hard, impossible to pass, impossible in human understanding, the human mind. Now, this happens every day. This is not just an isolated situation that happened to Abraham because he's the father of faith. No. Mm-hmm. This happens to each and every one of us every single day. There's always a test. But remember, God is testing our love. And faith, according to the New Testament, faith worketh by what? Faith worketh by love.
Love. Mm-hmm. I love him. Amen.
So if faith worketh by love, and I'm being tested every day as to my love, then my faith can only operate properly. And faith is an element of the Holy Spirit. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen. That's right.
So if the fruit of the Spirit is not working, then my love is not working. Mm. And if my love is not working, I can't pass the test. I will fail the test.
Amen.
So it's imperative for us to begin to see, and I know we're getting close to our time, but you can see that this test, trial, and temptation is probably in and of itself and by itself one of the most important components of working with and being compliant with the Holy Spirit on this earth while we're waiting for our husband.
Mm-hmm.
And we just started talking about test. So what happens when our love is tested and we pass. We'll learn that as I allow Evangelist Tanita to continue to read all the way to verse 14. And that may be all that we have to discuss today, and we'll pick it up next Thursday and go through the aspects of what it looks like when a person fails the test, and then we begin to go into a trial. Okay?
Okay. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac, his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you." So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." Then he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, for where is the lamb for the burnt, for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." So the two of them went together, verse 9. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." So he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horn. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." And that was 14.
Okay. So in our closing, the father was testing, and he was allowing us to understand and to know what is inside of us. He was giving Abraham an opportunity to see, based upon his actions, all the way down to the point of literally taking his life. Abraham struggled through that test, but he passed it. Next week, we'll talk about what happens when a person struggles through a test but doesn't pass it, and what happens in that aspect with the Holy Spirit. At this time, I'm going to pass it to Evangelist Tanita for her to go ahead and give our closing information, and then I will pray after.
Yes, amen. Another great show. Praise Yah, and I look forward to hearing the latter part of the test and failing the test and what happens. The show is held weekly on Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can email us questions at tjonesbts@gmail.com. The ministry is called Bethesham Ministries, and there are two websites in which you can reach or research. The first one is www.bethashem.org. That is www.bethesham.org. The second website is www.facebook.com/Bethesham Ministry, and that is spelled B-E-T-H-H-A-S-H-E-M-M-I-N-I STRIES. If you would like to attend the services, you can email us at Bethesham at yahoo.org for directions. That is BETHHASHEM at yahoo.org, .com. We also have the following email for those that are interested in the Zuhl College. And Zuhl College is where you can have a deeper understanding, learning Hebraically. You get to really get in depth in Torah and different aspects that would allow you to grow personally in your personal growth and relationship between you and Yah. If you're interested, just email us at admin@bethesham.org. That is admin at BETHHASHEM.org. And thank you for attending the show. And I'll hand it back over to you, Rabbi John.
Okay. Well, Father, right now in the name of Yeshua, first of all, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for your words being spoken. And I ask, Father, that if there were any words that were spoken out of kilter, meaning out of the full understanding of what you desired for this broadcast, that it would just be nullified at this point. Father, those words, though, that you have spoken and those scriptures that you have given for us to begin to meditate on, to chew on it, to really begin to have it become a part of our being, Father, I ask that it be so according to your will and according to the anointing of the Holy Spirit that you have given to each and every one of us. So I submit that to you now in the name of Yeshua. In Yeshua's name, amen. Shalom, shalom.